Take your Bible and open it to Revelation chapter 21. There's a few other passages of Scripture that I'll refer to. I have a brief New Year's message I want to share with you. You know, I was kind of reflecting on this, and I thought, you know, each week when I present a message here, we have what's called the so what section. You've heard what I've had to say, what I think the Lord has led me to say based upon His Word, study, prayer, preparation, all those kind of things. And you get to the point where you say, all right, so what? It's not just, wow, that was a nice message, Pastor. Well, thanks, that was neat. So what means, so what am I supposed to do about it? Not just me, you. So what am I supposed to think about this? So what? So how am I supposed to respond to this? At some point, you've got to take the message and make it personal. In a sense, that's what we're doing right now with the bishop's message. I do want to point out that in your notes, there's this devotional. That's what this is. It's a devotional for the week. And it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm sure you can figure that out. But it will show you then what we need to, what you can focus on. And then next Sunday night, did I see Buttons Free here this week? Dang it, I thought I saw him. Well, hey, next Sunday night, if you're available and you want to go to the Sacred Assembly, because the most we ever participated in this was a couple years ago when we hosted it. And so if you're available next Sunday night up at Newville at the Green Spring BIC, is going to be what they call the Sacred Assembly. And what that is it's just a church service at the end of the week of prayer and fasting. And so if you're available for next Sunday night, making any progress over there, Mikey? Is it? Well, try getting closer to it, and we'll try that. So.
Maybe it's because it's on Bluetooth.
Yeah, there you go. But I never use the keyboard on it, so, I mean, when I do this part here. But you don't need to know that. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay. Had that. Anyway. So if you're available and you can make it, it's about half an hour away from here. We'll see if anything comes up. All right, until then, just advance that slide and we'll see what happens. There we go. What are you looking forward to? You know, it seems that we burn most of our anticipation in the run-up to Christmas. You know, Christmas now gives us plenty to look forward to, but it really is just a day. And that day comes and that day goes and that day's over. And we put so much energy and anticipation into looking forward to that day and then it's over. Christmas 2017 seems a little bit far off. Thank you very much. Oh, no, you just need this. There you go. Sorry, good luck. it seems a little early to start getting excited about Christmas 2017, not to mention maybe a little bit selfish. You know, if here we are within a week after Christmas, you're already saying, all right, well, next Christmas, you know. You know, go ahead and advance one more slide. Some of you will be able to relate to this. You know how you feel after you finish a book, if you have a favorite author? You finish a book and you can't wait till the next book. And you know, they've actually, psychologists have now identified what they call PSD. Not PTSD. That's a serious thing that people who serve in the military oftentimes struggle with. But PSD. It's what's known as post-season depression. I'm not making this up. It's for people, and if you do Netflix or you know Hulu or one of those, and you watch your series, you know what I'm talking about. Here, let's go back one. We're good. Yep. And that is, you get to the end of the season, and there's just sort of a, now what? I've seen the whole. In if you're like me, you know, you try to spread out the 22 episodes, and so you watch two episodes every other night until you get about halfway through it, and then you watch six episodes in one night and finish out the season or whatever. And psychologists have actually identified this what's called post-series depression, and that is, it's over, and we feel like it's done. But think of the anticipation you have when you look forward to a sequel. Revelation 21 verse 5 says this. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. You know, go back in your Old Testament to Malachi, the last book, last page of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Surely the day is coming. And I won't read it all because of time today. You can read all of Malachi chapter 4. It's not very long. But basically, it's okay. I have a microphone. I'm louder. The Old Testament, he really wants to stay for the message. See, that's why he's crying. The Old Testament ends basically saying something like this. There's a day coming. And this day is going to be incredible. Everything's going to be changed. People are going to be changed. Kingdoms are going to be changed. The world's going to be shaken. There's a day coming that you should really look forward to. And then for 430 years, God was silent. People waited for the sequel. Generation after generation waited for the continued episode. But then we had the New Testament and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, in that 430 years, people anticipated, they dreamed, they thought, they came up with a lot of ideas of what Messiah would be like, and Jesus, in some ways, didn't match what they had in mind, and in other ways, far exceeded anything they could possibly imagine, like what the bishop was saying, to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. We typically, as the bishop mentioned, we typically think of those kinds of passages in terms of what God can do for us. And it's really not that. It's what God can do through us. You know, we think in terms of, oh, I could never do this, I could never do that. You know what? You don't know what you could do if you just yield your life and your heart to God. And so, just as the Old Testament was to be continued, the New Testament has a sequel coming as well. And that's what we read in Revelation 21. Now, anticipation is a good thing, because anticipation, when blended with patience, is what develops character. Think of it as a math proposition. Anticipation plus patience equals character, or perhaps what the Bible calls faithfulness. That's how our faith is developed. That's how our character is developed, is anticipation and patience. I did a little reading this week on the concept of delayed gratification, something foreign to our society, because we want everything, we want it now. Way back in 1970, a guy named Dr. Walter, that's all you need to know, Mitchell, he's famous, he's still alive, he's in his 80s, but he's done groundbreaking work on the concept of delayed gratification. And one of the experiments they did is they took children and put them in a room and put a cookie on the table and said, now you can have that cookie, but if you wait until I come back, I'll give you a second cookie. But if you don't wait, that's the only cookie you get. And so they studied these, and so some kids, as soon as they left the room, they go, you know, and others, they waited and they got that other cookie. And this experiment, by the way, has been repeated several times. And so for 40 years, Dr. Mitchell has been studying the concept of delayed gratification. And over that time, you know what they've learned is the one key ingredient to success, the one thing that all successful people have in common, is they are able to practice delayed gratification. They're able to deny themselves. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must what? Deny himself, pick up his cross, and come and follow me. Delayed gratification. And by the way, in real practical terms, the children who were able to put off and hold out for that second cookie, years later, you know what they discovered? They had an average of 210-point higher SAT scores. Delayed gratification. What a key. All right, so here we are, 2017. Some of you set resolutions, some of you don't. We can argue about that. Hopefully, we all have goals. I want to share with you my resolutions, just real quickly. You don't have to share all of these. One of them is one that I've made for the last several years, is to stop grumbling. It is so easy to complain. Philippians 2:14 says to do everything without grumbling. New NIV translates it a little differently now, but do everything without grumbling. Just do it. Do everything without grumbling. I got to tell you how I got myself in trouble on Christmas Day. No, you don't want Kim to tell this story. No. Please let me. If you know me, and I might offend some of you here with what I'm about to say, and I would just like to say, tough. If you know me, I think I've made it very clear. I've certainly made it very clear to the people closest to me that I think Crocs are just the ugliest, stupidest looking shoes in the world. I'm sorry you're offended, but my person, and we lost one. By the way, I learned two lessons at Christmas time. One was when somebody says, let's not spend money on gifts this year, that doesn't mean let's not spend money on gifts this year. Don't! But one of the things that money was spent on for me, I opened this gift, and guess what's in it?
Crocs.
You got it. And I looked up, I seriously, my immediate reaction was, you're kidding, right? I won't say who, but she wasn't. And it didn't get better until we made it to Niagara Falls several days later. I'm sure that crossed her mind. The point is, grumbling just comes, I don't know about you, but it just comes so easily for me. Yeah, I mean, it's just so natural. It's so easy to spot what's wrong or voice what you don't like. And so I'm really, that's something I'm, with God's help, I'm going to work on. Another thing I've decided I want to focus on is the concept of do it now. Proverbs 6, I'll just tell you what this passage says. It says, look at the ant. Look how busy the ant is. The ant does what needs to be done. Don't be like the, I love this Old Testament word, don't be like the sluggard. You know, that just kind of sits there and says, you know, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, do it now. I've just really taken this because there are a lot of things I've noticed over the course of 2016 that I meant to do but forgot about. You know, because do it now sometimes later becomes never. And so that's another one. And then finally, oh my. That's covering up 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but you get the idea of it. I plan to pray more and more specifically. Now, these first two, you know, stopping grumbling and do it now, those are things that if you want to do that along with me, I think that's a great idea. Those are good things. But on this one, on this third one, I'm gonna play the pastor card. As pastor of Crossroads, this is something that in 2017 that we as a church, and hopefully you will join us in this, are going to put more emphasis on prayer in our services and in our lives. One of the things we're going to do is invite people for specific reasons on occasion, at least monthly, if not weekly, we'll have a topic for people to come to the altar and pray as we're singing our worship songs. And we don't expect everybody to come to the altar, but maybe two or three people in different days or whatever the case may be. But we're going to emphasize prayer because we believe that God answers prayer. Philippians 4, what a great passage of Scripture. Philippians 4 tells us, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it says, look, if you're suffering with anxiety, boy, is that a problem in our society today? If you're worried, if you struggle with worry and want, you know, in anxiety and things like that, you know what you need to do? You need to pray more, and you need to pray specifically. Let your request be made known to God. Not just pray, oh God, help me not to be anxious, but be specific in your prayers. The Bible tells us plainly, that if we struggle with anxiety, and who doesn't? Some of us more than others. Yeah, I understand that. Some of us less than others. But if we struggle with anxiety, if we're overwhelmed by worry, the Bible tells us pray and pray specifically. So if God says, look, if that's your problem, this is what you need to do, we're nuts not to do it. And so we're going to emphasize focusing on prayer. Revelation 21, what we have to look forward to. Now let me put it all in context because it gets sort of looming here, and this is the big so what. Revelation 21, starting in verse 5 again, says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. In other words, you can bank on it. This is what's going to happen. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son or daughter. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. There is more to come. I hope that your goal is to be a little better this year. Ultimately, our trust is in the Lord. And our true transformation, a genuine character and heart change can only happen if we invite God, if we invite Jesus to come into our lives and change us from the inside out and change the things about us that we can't change. We can change our habits. We can change the places we go. We can change the people we hang out with. By the way, there's two choices on people you hang out with, by the way, you know that. You can either hang out with people who make you look good, and they might make you look good because they're really bad. You know what I mean? Or they're family service. I can't use the word I want to, but they're flatterers, and so they tell you what you want to hear. So you can hang out with people who make you look good, or people who make you feel good, or you can hang out with people who make you better. It's sometimes not necessarily the same crowd. Sometimes there's a little overlap. But I saw something. Ultimately, know this. We can change our habits. We can change our lifestyle. We can change the places we go, the people we hang out with, the things we watch on TV, the movies we decide to watch, the books we read, whether or not we read the Bible and how much. We can change all of those sorts of things. But we can't change our nature. We can't change our character. We can't change our heart. And really, this is kind of the bummer about it. That's what needs to be changed in us. Changing habits doesn't change who we are. But change who we are will change our habits. But we can't change who we are. But God can change who we are. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you'll invite him and say, look, I get it. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need transformation. If you'll invite Jesus into your life and make 2017 the year that you seriously follow Jesus, he can change you. It won't be without challenge, and it won't be easy. I saw something. I'll close with this. I thought it was pretty cool. Sometimes the change ahead of us, or the change that's necessary in our life, we might say, you know, I'm 55 years old, which doesn't sound that old anymore. And I gotta tell you, I've said this to my wife before. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. I am who I am. I'm Popeye. You know? What I mean by that is not, you're stuck with me now, babe. But what I mean is, man, this is a part of my nature, and it's hard for this to change. And that's the kind of stuff I need to take to the Lord and say, Lord, I am who I am, but I'm not who I want to be. And I'm not who you want me to be. So, Lord, change me. Transform me from the inside out. But when we look at the daunting change, maybe years of habits in our lives that need to be changed, it doesn't all happen overnight. And I saw this one quote, and I'll wrap it up with this. It said, improve one thing by 1% today. Pick one aspect of your life. Improve one thing by 1% today, and then do it again tomorrow. Can you improve by 1%? Especially with God's help? I think that's doable. Might even be able to do 2% on a good day. Improve one thing by 1%. What needs to change in your life? I don't know. Why don't you ask God? Ask God how he wants to change you and use you. One of the things that we set out to do at Crossroads Church every year is start new ministries, one or two ministries. And you know how those ministries start? It's not because we say, all right, here's what I want you to do. It's because God moves on people's hearts. You know why we have a food pantry at Crossroads? Because a couple of people in our congregation said, you know what, I really feel like this is what God wants me to do. And we're like, what's it going to take to make it happen? What do we need to do as a church to support this? Your thing, maybe you don't know what it is yet. God can use you to start a ministry this year, perhaps. Or grow a ministry that's already involved. Do it. Take it that next step, 1% at a time. Let's stand together, and then we're going to pray. Matt's going to lead us in a song. And next Sunday, church service is a little bit shorter than today. How's that? 9 o'clock or 10:45. See the sign-up sheets back there, all kinds of neat stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we do thank you for a new year. Every day is an opportunity for a new beginning for us as we recognize that you make all things new. You make us new. You transform our character, our nature, our heart. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who's never made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, they've never totally given their life to the Lord, that today will be the day that they hear your voice calling and that they make the decision. They say, okay, I'm ready to make that decision. I might be a little scared about it, but I just need to do it. And Lord, for the rest of us, may we improve by 1% today and 1% tomorrow until we're fully transformed into the likeness and image of your Son, the character and person that you want us to be, that you've called us to be, so that your name will be glorified, so that people will think highly of you because of what you've done to and through us. In Jesus' name.